Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is James chapter 5, verse 11, and Job chapter 42, verse 12. James chapter 5, 11, and Job chapter 42, verse 12. I'll let it read for you. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The second one is Job chapter 42, verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 140,000 sheep and 60,000 camel and the 100,000 yokes of oxen and 100,000 female donkeys. This is the word of God. Today's title is the part three. Let us learn from Job's patience and receive the blessing of former years. Through Saturn's the two trials, we saw what kind of faith Job possessed that enabled him to preserve his faith amid all his tribulations. When all his possessions and the lives of his children were taken away, he maintained his faith as faithful servant, and when he was afflicted with boils all over his body, suffering unbearable pain that made him wish for physical death, he triumphed in the trial by acknowledging God's sovereignty, that the one who gives the blessing also brings calamities. Then the greatest trial of all came upon him. It was when his faith was attacked by his three friends. Without even knowing the reason for his suffering, the attacks from his three friends who condemned his faith fell to Job as a greater torment than any physical pain. Job had demonstrated an unconditional faith in God and complete trust in God's sovereignty even in the midst of suffering. But when his faith, especially his righteousness, was attacked, he began to defend his faith. As he insisted on his innocence and claimed to be blameless, he ended up in a position where his own righteousness challenges God's righteousness. This was precisely what Satan was aiming for. By considering himself righteous and asserting his own righteousness before God, he was driven to a place of pride before God and a direct challenge to God's justice. This is the cause of the fall. Was it not Satan who fell by deceiving Adam with the lies, causing him to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in order to become like God, just as the cherubim who were supposed to serve God as his closest attendant fell because of their pride and their desire to exalt themselves as God? Yet Job, amidst 30 long years of suffering and God's silence, though he asserted his own righteousness, did not curse God or abandon him. Rather, he clearly confessed that only God could defend his faith, pleading this with tears. According to the Job chapter 16, verse 19 to 21, I'd like to read for you. Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my advocate is on high. My friends are my scoffers. My eye weeps to God. Oh, that a man might plead with God as a man with his neighbor. But other version of the Bible, that the verse 20 is actually the NASB is my friends are my scoffers, but other the version is translated is like that. or my advocate is my friends. Job confessed his belief that he has a witness in heaven and an advocate who is pleading his case before God. This witness and advocate foreshadow Jesus Christ, the one and only mediator between God and humanity. According to the Job, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, I let it read, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. And I give you another one, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Amen. Clearly, he could neither see nor meet Jesus in the flesh. However, because he regarded his relationship with God and the kingdom of God as a personal bond that shared in all his sufferings and tribulations, he was able to experience the presence of Jesus in advance. Jesus himself said that Abraham longed to see him and rejoiced when he did. According to the John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Bible tells us that not only to Job and Abraham, but also Moses. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26. Considering the reproach of Christ, the greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. David as well. According to the Acts chapter 2, verse 25, for David said of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Amen. This testifies that the forefathers of faith also knew of Jesus' existence and longed to see the Lord. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. How were they able to recognize Jesus? It was because the Spirit of Christ was among them. Amen. According to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, I'd like to read for you. As to this salvation, the prophet who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. What they all have in common is that even while facing extreme tribulation, they prioritized their relationship with God above all else and never let him go. When God commanded Abraham to offer up his only son, Isaac, Abraham did not respond with doubt or disobedience. Instead, by holding fast to God's promise, he was able to see and believe in the power of resurrection that God would grant. Job thought he knew his troubles and sufferings could not be reserved on this earth. Long for the Messiah, the one who would vindicate him and rescue him from this place of suffering, and was able to see the reality behind the shadow. According to the Job chapter 19, verse 25 to 27, he confessed like that. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes shall be see, and not another. My heart faints with me. We can see that it was precisely this suffering that brought about the maturity growth of Job's faith. According to the Romans chapter 5, verse 30 to 4, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about the perseverance, and the perseverance proven character, and the proven character hope. Amen. Although Job prided himself on being righteous in the midst of his trials, he experienced the utter limitation of being created being. Yet he did not flee from the painful accusation of his friends. Instead, he ultimately turned inward and waged a spiritual battle. His preconceived notions of his own righteousness and his own understanding of God began to melt away in the refining fire of sufferings. Rather than a face shaken by tribulation, he went through a process of being refined into a face of pure gold, removing all elements of unbelief and being shaped by faith to the point God desired. According to the Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job confessed like that, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. His trials led Job to fix his gaze on Jesus, the eternal hope of salvation. For Job, endurance was not merely a means of enduring suffering, but a means of God's love that enabled him to keep his eyes fixed on God without wavering until the very end. The Redeemer mentioned by Job here is the Hebrew term is goel, which means close relative. A goel is a close relative who, when a relative is poor and has sold their land, pay the price of redeem it. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25. Pays the ransom to free a relative sold into slavery or avenges a relative who has been unjustly killed. Additionally, when a brother dies childless, the goel is responsible for marrying the widow to continue the family line. The marriage of Boaz to Ruth, which we are all familiar with, is an example Levite marriage or the kinsman redeemer system. The reason Job had no choice but to cry out for this kinsman redeemer was that, even while being condemned as a sinner by his friends and feeling abandoned by God, he never lost the hope that God was the one who never abandoned him and was watching over him to the very end. According to the Job chapter 23, verse 8 to 10, I'd like to read for you. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. Although he felt as if God had struck him down and abandoned him, he was certain that a Redeemer who would save him must surely be in heaven. This was not merely a God known through the mind or heard through the ears. Rather, by trusting in God and holding fast to him to the very end, he reached a point where he truly believed that God is alive and actively involved in his life, a conviction as certain as seeing with his own eyes. He goes further to declare with certainty that he will see the first coming of the Lord, who will come in human form as a close relative of ours, and even more, that through his own resurrection, he will see the Lord clearly with his own eyes. According to the Job chapter 19, verse 26 to 27, Job confessed like that: "Even after my skin is destroyed, there is a die, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold and whom my eyes shall see, and not another." Amen. Job's endurance was not merely about enduring suffering. It was about rejoicing in seeing the Goel Redeemer standing at the end of that suffering. Even though he had lost everything, he met Jesus, the personal Redeemer who redeemed him as his closest kinsman. This was the greatest blessing God, who had remained silent for 30 years, gave him. Clearly, Job met God who appeared in the storm. You can find that of Job chapter 38, verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," we can certainly say that this Lord God is God the Father, yet he defends Job's faith before Job's three friends. According to the Job chapter 42, 7 to 8, especially the verse 7, is that the Lord said to the Elizabeth at the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has." Amen. And from the verse 8, "Because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has." He one more time is confirmed that Job is right. The God whom Job met in the storm was not merely a fearsome judge. He was our eternal Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who bore Job's suffering with him and defend Job as righteous before Satan's accusations. Finally, God appeared at the scene of Job's sufferings. God did not give Job a direct answer, but instead asked him questions. He asked if Job understood the principle and the reason behind God's creation of the entire universe, his providence, and the workings of the cosmos. The gap between the creator and the creature is so vast that it cannot be expressed in words. A creature can never fully comprehend the creator's will. A creature cannot argue against God's wisdom, providence, and will. The purity rise in human living lives of gratitude, obedience, and devotion to God for the grace he has shown in making us his children. Finally, Job expressed his desire. According to the Job chapter 42, verse 5, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee." Actually, like what the desire that the from the Job chapter 19 verse 27, he said, "Whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes shall see." Right? Job's sufferings transformed his face from a religion of knowledge into a living encounter. It granted him the blessing of seeing, hearing, and touching the reality behind the shadow. Over the course of 3 weeks, we have come to understand the meaning of the words in James chapter 5, verse 11. We can finally understand fully. I'd like to read one more time the James chapter 5, verse 11. "Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings." Amen. The outcome God gave him certainly include the restoration of all his lost possessions and children, but the outcome God granted him was, above all, to see God. To see God means to return to the world as it was originally created. It speaks of entering once again into a union and intimacy with God. The moment when we meet face to face with the Lord who is coming again in the Father's name is among us. You can find at the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 21. It is not merely a matter of seeing, but rather receiving the blessing of being allowed to become like God. Let's look at that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I'd like to read for you. "Behold, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appeared," second coming, "we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is." And also in the Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, the scripture says, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead." Amen. We too may face moments of despair like Job did. The final 7 year great tribulation awaits us. Yet we must remember this: my Redeemer lives. He will not only stand upon the earth on the rest day, but even now he is the living Redeemer who defends me, forgives my sin, and leads me to the Father. Hallelujah. This must become true not only for Job, but also for us. Amen. I hope you believe that there will be a day among us when we will see it with our own eyes. Let us pray. We give thanks for the Father's great grace and love. Even though the adversities and the trials we are facing now cannot be compared to any of the tribulation Job endured, we cannot help but confess our lack of faith. So much so that we cannot lift our head because complaint and resentment persist in our heart and on our lips. Yet you have clearly stated that to enter the kingdom of God, we must endure the tribulation you have permitted, knowing that Satan is using every means possible to sever our relationship with you by subjecting us to all manner of trials. Please help us to pray earnestly every day so that we do not show any cracks in our faith. And even in the midst of the tribulation, may we remember Job's perseverance, and faith. Please help us not to lose our heart and faith toward God during sufferings. May we never forget that Jesus, our eternal Redeemer, sees all our afflictions, shares in them with us, and is always with us. And so may all the saints belong to Love First Church partake, without a single one missing, in the precious final walk that God has ordained, the ending God has given where we behold Him and become one in Him. As we pray and ask for all these things, we offer this earnest prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.